I barely get through. The only way of standing tall is leaning on you. But never let my heart forget when I'm losing hope, that all of my trials and tests of my faith more precious than gold. I've never seen a rainbow till after the rain, and I've never known His healing power till I felt the pain. I've never seen a sunrise till after the night, and I've never known the victory till after the fight. Only through pressure a diamond is born. That is how it reaches its purest form. And when the pressures come, Lord, please help me to see that through it all Your hands will shape a diamond out of me. I've never seen a rainbow till after the rain, and I've never known His healing power till I felt the pain. I've never seen a sunrise till after the night, and I've never known the victory till after the fight. Oh, no, you never know the victory till after the fight.
Amen. I enjoyed that. Nehemiah chapter 8 tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8. That was great. And I think they need to start selling his CDs at Cracker Barrel. That's what I think. Amen. You know, I would go there and hit that button, Brother Andrews, and I keep hitting that thing. But we enjoy Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel, we really do. It's good. And I enjoy it. Seems like, you know, after we eat, you know, it's hard to go through there without picking up a little something, amen, and candy or something. But I love the peppermint sticks. But anyways, it's good to be here tonight. And, you know, all kidding aside, we really do enjoy the Internet, the services on the Internet whenever we're in Madagascar. And we always enjoy the specials before the messages and then the messages. And so it is a blessing to our family. And I hope that the message will be a blessing to you tonight. And it's going to be very simple. And you say, well, how can you preach simple? Well, if you do a lot of preaching in a different language, you learn to do it simple. Amen. And sometimes the more you say, the worse it gets. And well, I'll never forget, we had the Scotty Rackley that works with us over there. He was preaching. And it's sad because the preacher doesn't know it. And you're up there, you know, pouring your heart out and getting this burden out, you know, and I mean, it's heavy. And he's up there preaching up a storm, and he thinks he's preaching about repentance. You know, we need to repent, you know, and the word for repent in Malagasy is mifuna. And he's up there saying, mifuna, mifuna. He sounds just like Brother Dwayne Nichols, if you've ever heard him preach. He just sounds just like him. And what he didn't know is that he wasn't saying mifuna, he was saying mifusa. And mifusa means gossip. And so he preached the whole message telling the church to gossip. And so that was a blessing. And I've had my share, amen, of things that I've said the wrong thing and stuck my foot in my mouth. And of course, you don't have to speak a different language to do that once in a while. But yeah, you may keep it simple. And we won't be long tonight. And you say, why is that? Because I'm a missionary. And they told us on deputation, keep it short, get support. And, hey, I can keep it short. And I've preached in 5 minutes, well, let me not five, 10 minutes, you know, and 15. I can do anything for your support. And and I learned that from Brother Vineyard, too, at the missions conference on there. He did not like missionaries going long. So it's going to be simple, and it's going to be short, and I really do hope, though, that it's going to be a blessing. And I hope not just a challenge, but I hope it's going to be an encouragement to you about missions. And, you know, I just want to remind you folks that you just don't see the ministry of Faith Baptist Church on this property on Sundays and Wednesdays, but literally the ministry of this church is all around the world. You don't see that at all at once. And the sun never sets in the ministry of the Faith Baptist Church. And I remember when we came here in 1990, there was a big saying, and I remember that from a little kid, the sun never sets in the ministry of the Faith Baptist Church. And that's true, because when you're going to sleep here, we're waking up in Madagascar, and the missionaries are on that side of the world. So let's go ahead and stand, and we'll read a few verses here, and hopefully it'll be a blessing and an encouragement to you, I hope, tonight. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse number 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God, mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. I know that verse number 10 is famous for the last part of the verse, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. But I want you to notice a statement in that verse he made where he said, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and here it is, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. And I just want to speak for a few minutes tonight on that thought, sending portions. Sending portions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. There is no church like the Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And Lord, thank you so much for people who have come tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're close to the missions conference. And Lord, thank you that the fire is hot here, right here in our Jerusalem. And Lord, as we begin to get ready for the missions conference, Lord, I pray that you would challenge us for what we're going to do for the uttermost part of the earth. And thank you for the missionaries that are coming. Thank you for the good people of this church that give and sacrifice so all the ministry can take place. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you please just bless our time tonight and help me to say what you would want me to say and to be a blessing to these people. And we pray this in Jesus' name and amen. Now, just so you know the background of this, so we don't have to go belabor this, but Nehemiah and the Jews with him had just rebuilt the wall. And that was an amazing thing, wasn't it? Nehemiah and what God can do with just a few people with a big burden, amen? It's amazing. And sometimes it seems like we are the minority, maybe we are, but God can do a lot of things, great things, big things, with a few people with a big burden. And that's what they had. And so they rebuilt that wall in 52 days, and then they assemble, and they ask Ezra to read to them out of the law. And what a great thing when God's people want to hear His Word. Amen. And we ought to be like that. Our own personal devotions, anytime we can get it at church and the preaching and teaching of God's Word. And so that's what they did. And as always, when the Word of God is preached and when the Word of God is taught and when the Word of God is understood by God's people, it brings something about. It brings something. It pricks them in the heart. And then it turns actually into joy. And we know that the Bible says that God's Word is not going to return back void. And yes, His Word can bring conviction, but really, God's Word can bring a lot of joy to people who are challenged by it and who make decisions to obey it and to do right. And so that's what happened. And like good Christians, out of that joy, a feast is proclaimed. And that's what happened there. And now, when I think about a feast, I think about family get-togethers. And, I mean, you know, we had a feast in Arkansas with Ashley's family this year. You know how it goes, right? You know, it starts off with just, we're going to have a fish fry. And then someone says, well, if we're going to have a fish fry, we should have hush puppies. And then someone says, well, yeah, if we're going to do that, we should have some, you know, potato salad. And then if we do that, we should have some corn on the cob. You know, and that's how it goes. And by the time the group of the family sat down, two of those white six-foot tables couldn't hold all the food. And have you ever been there where you ate and you ate and you ate and honestly, you almost had to roll you from the table? And I've been there. I'm sure you have been there too. You couldn't hold anymore. And you know, people like food and people like to eat. And the people in Madagascar are the same as us here in the States. Man, they love it. And in Madagascar, the big time of year is not Christmas. We do celebrate Christmas. It is a big thing. But the big thing for those people over there is the New Year. And the New Year, and they bring food, they bring rice. We have learned, we bought two or three great big rice cookers for our church. In the early days, Ashley was trying to cook, and some ladies were trying to cook all that rice. We said, we're not doing this anymore, we're going to buy rice cookers. And I don't know where those people put it, but I mean, they put it, and they have one plate, and two plates, and three. And they party all night. They still, I finally, you know, I'm done at about 1 or 2 in the morning. I am done. But they stay, and they stay all night, and it's a big deal. But you know what we always do? And when we're up there and we were, everybody's done, everybody's fed and everybody's full, we start to get plates together for the guards downstairs. Because we're on the second story of that storefront building, and the guards downstairs, they have to work, and they're not a part of any kind of a watch night festivities. They don't have any food. They can hear us up there. They can smell the food up there, I'm sure. They open the doors for us, and they bring in all of that food in. And so we always, you know what that is? That's sending a portion. And maybe that's what happens when you have family get-togethers, and then as the kids go home, as people go back, you kind of divide it up and send portions with them. And that's the thought. And I want to just give you three things about this, and we'll be done. Number one, very simple, we send after we receive. God doesn't ask us to send until we have first received. Look at it in verse number 10. He said, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and sin. Do you see that? And to me, folks, fat and sweet indicate excess and abundance. And we were on vacation in Arkansas, and at midnight, we heard rustling coming from the pantry area, that little area there. And I got up and looked, Ashley did, and it was her older brother, Jody. And he was having a midnight snack. And he was raiding that. Now, you know, we here in America, we have fridges. We have just stuff in there just in case. Amen? And we have stuff in the cupboards. You know how it is? Just in case. Because we have excess and abundance. But I'm going to tell you, folks, a lot of places around the world, they don't live like that. In Madagascar, most people that we have in our church, and people live all around us, they don't live like that. They take the little basket, like we have one for our display, they take a little basket, and they go out in the morning, and when they go to the market, they buy just enough rice, and just enough vegetables, and if they have enough, they buy a little bit of meat, and just a little bit of salt, and just enough sugar, and just enough cooking oil, and just enough for that day. And that's it. And there's nothing extra. There's no excess. There's no abundance. It's just enough for that. Now, he said, I want you to receive first, and I want you to receive in excess and abundance. Now, folks, I don't want to beat you up the other night, but we are full physically. We've been blessed. And I don't want to make anybody feel bad for being blessed. Thank God that we live in a country that God has been able to bless, because it was founded on His Word, and we have been a nation that has preached His Word and sent the gospel all around the world even, and thank God for that, and we are full physically, aren't we? I'll tell you this, we're full spiritually. I travel all over this country, and we pass churches and billboards. You see it on the signs, and something about Jesus, something about the gospel, and you go to other places, it's just not like that. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you full spiritually? Are you full? I mean, has the gospel changed your life? Can you remember a day when there was pre-salvation and post-salvation? And there was a big change, and you can remember what the gospel and what God's Word has done for you. Maybe you're like me, and you got saved at a young age, and you grew up in a Christian home because that day happened in your family way before you. But it wasn't always like that in your family, but somewhere down the road, your whole family was changed. And not just that person, but their kids and their kids because of the gospel. We're full. I love to hear Ashley's dad talk about the day dad got saved. And how it changed their whole family. And how dad would load them all up in that pickup truck and they would drive to church and drive back. And how he can remember that. You know, let me ask you a question. Has your church changed your life? I hope it has. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not just saying this. We have in our class, we're not here very much, we have the best teacher, the Sunday school teacher in the church. I love Brother Payne's class. And one of the things I love to hear him talk about is I love to hear him talk about his church. You know why? Because he told us, I got saved in this church. And I got baptized in this church. And I got discipled in this church. And I got married in this church. I raised my kids in this church. And they got married in this church. And it just goes, the whole, you know, listen folks, when you start reaching first generation Christians, that church is everything to them. And that's the way it is in Madagascar. We're not reaching, for the most part, people who had saved parents and grandparents, but it is totally new, and they were lost, and the gospel and the church and the Word of God changed them. Now we're full. We are full spiritually. And God does not ask us to sin until we have first received. Number two, God only asks us to send a portion of what we have received. And He says right there, go you eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions. You know what I love about missions? I love this. You know, through missions, a missionary can go to a church and the people in that church can say, you know what? We are full spiritually. The Word of God has changed my life. The gospel has changed my life. This church has changed my life. We're full. We've been blessed. Our whole family has been changed. And we want to send a little bit of that someone else's way. And that's what missions is. It's all about us saying, listen, we have been so blessed and we want to send that to someone else. And you know what? Let me remind you, God only asks for a portion. That's all He asks for. He does not ask for us to starve so that others may eat. He really doesn't. And listen, the tithe is just a portion. That's all it is. Our offerings is just a portion. Our missions giving is just a portion. He doesn't ask for us to have no more fun and not buy any more clothes, not go any more places, not do anything fun for the rest of our lives. He doesn't ask that, but He does ask for a portion. Let me just say this. Wednesday night service, that's just a portion of our time, isn't it? And Sunday morning, and Sunday school, and Sunday night, and bus routes, and your Sunday school class, and soul winning, that all the stuff that this church does, it's just a portion. It's just a portion. And I just want to point out that we will always need that portion. Look real quick in chapter 7 and verse number 4. Where he said, now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not builded. This was not Solomon's day. This was not a time when gold and silver were in abundance and people had everything they could want. This was a time when probably these people could have used all they could have gotten. And that's really true. And let me ask you this. How many people couldn't use a few more dollars in the bank account? How many people, have you ever been like this? How many people couldn't use a few more hours in the day or in the week? And we could always use that portion. But we have to remember that God is going to ask us for just a portion of our time and our money and what we have received. And I just think about it. You know, use this illustration. I love, we do. Our family, we love ice cream. And we love it. In Madagascar, we make homemade vanilla ice cream, one of Ashley's granny's recipe. And ice cream is very expensive in Madagascar. And so we don't buy it a whole lot because it's very expensive. And so we bought one of those hand crank ice cream makers. Didn't buy the electric motor. Because I have three little girls who have a lot of energy. And we can put that energy to good use. Amen. And they can help daddy crank that ice cream. We crank that sometimes. we'll get some Butterfingers from the U.S. and we'll crunch them up and we'll put them in there at the end. Or one of our favorite things to do is when the rainy season starts and the mangoes start coming in from the north, we slice those babies up and put that with the vanilla ice cream, and man, it's so good. Sometimes in town I'll stop, make a stop in town, buy an ice cream cone. And, you know, this will happen. Not every time, but it'll happen fairly often. I'll stop and I'll buy an ice cream cone. And I'm eating that ice cream cone. And all of a sudden, there'll be a little kid over there. No shoes, rags for clothes, matted hair, snot coming out of his nose or her nose, you know. And they'll slowly make their way over to me. And they'll get to me and they'll ride up next to me and they won't say anything, but this is what they'll do. Look up. You know, if you're not in a sharing mood, you'll try to turn so you don't see them, you know. They're not there, you know. Do you know what happens every time that happens? Here you go. You take it. Why? Because I can buy another ice cream cone. But for someone like that, you know, listen, folks, we need to realize that we may need that portion, but there may be someone else that needs that portion a little more than we do. And you know, you may need that portion of your time that you invest in that Sunday school class. Maybe you could use that time, but you know what? There may be some kid or teenager lives in this area, and they need that portion of your time a little more than you do. And maybe I'm sure you have something better to do on Saturday morning than to go out and visit those bus kids, and something better to do on Sunday morning than run those bus routes. But we understand that someone may need that portion of our time or our money or our abilities a little more than we do. Maybe someone needs your child or grandchildren a little more than you do. You ever thought about that? That's the truth. And, you know, I just to be real, real about this thing, you know, I remember missions conference time. I grew up in this church. I remember passing out the cards when I was working in high school. And I can remember going into the missions conference, you know, with my mind made up. You know, I may give a little bit, but, you know, I'm not going to do much more. You know, I need this. There are things I want to buy, things I want to have, you know, and I'm just not. Maybe you remember this. And maybe you were like, I don't know if you like that or not. And Brother Vineyard would come. And he would start preaching. He would start telling those stories about those people all around the world. He'd start preaching. And you'd hear it in chapel. And you'd hear it in the night. And you, by the end of that conference, you know what? I can do a little bit more. You know, it's funny. You ever notice how we can spend money on things we like and we want and we just drop it like it's nothing? But you ever, maybe no one else is like this, but I can buy something that I like and it doesn't look like a big expense, but when my wife buys something, well, did you really need that? You know, I mean, it's like, well, that's expensive for a person. I mean, come on. Let's just get real. When it's something we really want, it doesn't seem that big. But when it's something else, well, you know, it just kind of changes. And listen, you know, it can get tight at these times. But if we're not careful, this passage here talks about joy and rejoicing. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose the joy of it. We're going to lose the joy of being involved in something great. And we're going to lose that if we're not careful. And listen, you don't really have to have people giving a huge increase per se. You know, I was thinking, if I believe it in the math, right? If 12 or 13 people would increase their giving by $1 a week, that could be enough to take on one missionary a month. And if 25 would just give a dollar more a week, we could take on two. And if 50 people would just give a dollar more a week, we could take on four. And I'm not up here trying to push for money, and that's not what I'm doing. I'm just trying to say we can all do a lot if we all just do a little more, maybe. And you know what? That's not just in money. That's in our time. That's in everything we do around here. And don't lose the joy of that. And then I want to say number three, keep in mind that God only asks us to send portions. I shouldn't say God only, but in this text, God asked them to send portions to those who had not yet received anything. Look at it in verse number 10 again. Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. And here it is. And send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. And I talked about that being so full that if someone walked up to you and offered you a little something, you would refuse it because you didn't even want it. Let me tell you something. A portion may not be a big deal to someone who's full. But to someone who has not yet received anything, it's a big deal. I could take you to places all over Madagascar, and there are people living there, and there has been nothing prepared for them. I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking about roads where you can drive, like we have done it, 12 hours on a road from our city to a city on the coast, and not one independent Baptist church, not one gospel preaching church on that whole road. I'm talking about people who haven't received anything. I'm talking about people who little kids who don't have a bus route running in their area. I'm talking about teenagers who don't have parents and pastors and teachers and youth pastors and Sunday school teachers who love them and try to do something for them. I'm talking about people who have received nothing. And, you know, that's the way it is. But I'm going to tell you this. Because of the portions that we send in places like that, they start receiving portions. And it is a big deal. My dad saw it. We went to... I took him out. We drove down that road 12 hours. And I was just burdened by that. And it wasn't long when a man in our church said, "Hey, Pastor," he said, "I have received not my land, but I have land that I can farm out in the country." And it was an hour and a half down this road. And he said, "I can farm it, whatever, and I'm out there during the week. I come back on the weekends for church." And he said, "Could I start a kids' Bible club out there?" And I said, "Sure." You know, and in America, it takes a lot of work to get kids coming. Maybe, I don't know, but it seems like it. But I'm telling you what, it was in like 2 months' time, we had over 100, and sometimes, not all the time, but as many as 150 kids coming. And I know they're just kids. But, you know, that's a church someday. And listen, when that man went out there to those kids and started just holding a simple Bible club, you know what they started getting? They started getting a portion. And then pretty soon, myself and some men in the church started driving up there on Saturdays and receiving the adults and the teenagers, and it's a dark area, and you know the man was saying so-and-so has a grandfather who's in witchcraft, and so-and-so is a relative who's demon-possessed, and these girls over here have all been abused physically by men in the village, and these young men over here are on drugs, and this lady's son over here has lost his mind because they grow drugs, and he's become a drug addict, and all the burdens and all the same sin that we have here in the States, and this home is divorced, and this is immorality, and all the same stuff, but when we started pulling in there, they started receiving a portion. And it's bearing fruit. And it may be slow, and it may not be as fast as we would like or whatever, but it is something. It's a foothold in a dark area. And here's the blessing. It is because of the portions you send. Because when you send portion of what God has done for you to a missionary, then that missionary gets to take a portion and take it to someone else. And you know, I think about Scrooge and A Christmas Carol, you know, and he delivers that turkey on Christmas Day, and he says, "Who sent this?" He said, "It's anonymous, but someone wanted to do it for you." And to those people over there in Madagascar, it's anonymous. They don't know you. And you don't know them. But God does. And He knows. And someone gets the privilege of delivering the portions. You ever thought about that? That's what a missionary gets to do. Take the portions you send and give it to the people that you want to help. And I know we have low days on the mission field. You know, not everything gets in a prayer letter. You know, I hate these people. I don't know why God called me here. Take a bath, please. Well, you know, I don't know. You know, my kids got lice again from your dirty heathens. You know, not everything makes the prayer letter. We have bad days. I dumped all over my mom when she came over there and asked for the nonsense. But I'm going to tell you what. We love what we do. We do. And we love it. So we get to do something on your behalf. And I said, you don't know them, but I'm going to tell you what. That day is coming when it's going to change. And we're going to love heaven. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. We're probably all looking forward to seeing people there. But you tell me if there's going to be a greater joy in heaven. You're sitting there. You're taking it all in. And someone comes up. They walk over to you and sit down next to you. And they say, man, it's a wonderful place, isn't it? You say, man, it sure is. So I just want you to know that I'm here because of a portion you sent. And that's my mom and dad. And that's my brothers and sisters. I think the members of Faith Baptist Church is going to be a steady stream. I really do. People from all over the world are going to come up. Thanks for the portion. So you know what? Whatever God lays on your heart to do, time, money, whatever, this church, missions abroad, what portion can you give? Because it makes a big difference to someone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time tonight. Thank you for your goodness, Lord, to us. Thank you, Lord, that someone sent a portion our way. Lord, at one point, someone gave a portion of their time or their money. They cared enough about someone, either us, Lord, or someone in our family, stopped to give the gospel. Maybe someone picked us up for church or someone else in our family. And everything changed because of that. And we're so full. And what a blessing that is, God, and help us to just send a portion someone else's way too.